Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. You might feel a little pressure finding Wonder. After Miscarriage is a memoir by Mary Adkins that examines pregnancy loss with unusual candor, precision, and emotional range, centered on the experience of three miscarriages in 9 months and the failed attempts that follow. The book is not only about reproductive grief, but also about what loss does to identity, marriage, ambition, and the body. Adkins writes from within a deeply personal crisis. Yet the memoir reaches outward to consider how women are taught to measure worth through achievement, control, and visible progress. The result is a reflective non-fiction work that combines intimate disclosure with broader cultural critique. Rather than treating miscarriage as a single traumatic event, the book presents it as an extended condition that reshapes daily life, private relationships, and self-understanding. Its purpose is both narrative and interpretive to give language to an experience that is often minimized, while also showing how grief can coexist with humor, tenderness, and moments of wonder. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the body is both site of desire and source of disappointment. One of the book's most important contributions is its refusal to reduce miscarriage to a brief medical episode. Adkins presents pregnancy loss as a repeated and cumulative experience that affects body, memory, expectations, and the emotional rhythm of everyday life. By describing three miscarriages within a short span, the memoir shows how each loss alters the meaning of the next, making hope and fear inseparable. This approach matters because public discussion often frames miscarriage as something private but isolated, when in reality, it can become a prolonged period of uncertainty and mourning. The book's strength lies in showing that grief is not linear. It returns during medical appointments, in moments of physical awareness, and in ordinary domestic routines. That structure helps explain why the memoir resonates beyond the specific event itself. It is less interested in dramatic revelation than in the sustained psychological impact of repeated loss, and in how a person continues living while carrying a wound that never fully fits conventional narratives of recovery. Secondly, marriage under strain but not reduced to conflict, Adkins links miscarriage to a broader struggle over bodily trust. The memoir explores how a person can feel estranged from a body that is supposed to be reliable, legible, and cooperative. That tension is central to the book's emotional logic. The body is not merely a biological vessel, but the place where hope, loss, and self-judgment collide. The narrative also connects reproductive grief to body image and female self-perception, suggesting that cultural pressure around appearance and control can intensify feelings of failure when the body does not behave as expected. This is one reason the memoir feels larger than a fertility story. It examines the shame and frustration that emerge when a body becomes a reminder of limits rather than an instrument of achievement. The book does not offer a simple restoration of trust. Instead, it documents the work of living with bodily uncertainty and learning that self-worth cannot depend on physical predictability. That makes the memoir useful for readers interested in how private bodily experience is shaped by social expectations. Thirdly, questioning achievement culture and the belief that effort guarantees outcomes. The memoir gives serious attention to marriage as a relationship tested by grief rather than destroyed by it. Adkins portrays her husband with nuance, showing how support can coexist with confusion, helplessness, and fatigue. This matters because loss narratives often isolate the sufferer, but the book emphasizes that miscarriage also changes the emotional climate of a partnership. The couple must navigate medical procedures, disappointment, and differing ways of processing pain, all while continuing to parent and maintain daily responsibilities. The husband's presence is not simply background. It reveals how intimacy is altered when one person cannot solve the other's suffering. That adds depth to the memoir because it avoids idealized depictions of support and instead shows the friction involved in loving someone through repeated disappointment. The relationship becomes a measure of endurance, not because the pain is easy, but because the book recognizes that mutual care can survive without clear answers. For readers, this makes the memoir especially valuable as a study in how grief is shared within domestic life. Fourthly, finding wonder without denying grief. A central intellectual thread in the memoir is Adkins's confrontation with a worldview built around effort, discipline, and measurable success. She describes what happens when that framework collides with fertility, where hard work, planning, and persistence cannot guarantee a desired result. This is a meaningful critique because many people, especially high-achieving women, are conditioned to see life as a sequence of goals that can be reached through diligence. Miscarriage exposes the limits of that logic. The memoir shows how painful it can be when a person who is accustomed to solving problems encounters a situation that cannot be fixed. Rather than presenting this as an individual failing, Adkins treats it as a cultural and psychological reckoning. The book asks what remains of identity when ambition is no longer enough to produce certainty or control. In that sense, it is about more than fertility, it is about the vulnerability hidden beneath performance-based self-worth. Readers interested in the emotional costs of achievement culture will find this one of the memoir's most thought-provoking layers. Lastly, finding wonder without denying grief. Despite its subject, the memoir is not defined by despair. Adkins balances grief with attention to the brief. Vivid details that still make life feel worth inhabiting: a toddler's humor, the steadiness of friendship, the satisfactions of marriage, and small moments of beauty that arrive without warning. This balance is important because it prevents the book from becoming either sentimental or relentlessly bleak. The title's idea of pressure is not only about strain, it also suggests the possibility of transformation under pressure. The memoir argues, implicitly, that wonder does not require the erasure of pain. Instead, it can exist alongside it, giving shape to a more honest form of resilience. That is what distinguishes the book from more conventional grief narratives. It is not trying to redeem miscarriage or turn loss into a neat lesson. Rather, it shows how a person can remain open to life's texture, even after being changed by trauma. This makes the memoir emotionally credible and intellectually resonant, especially for readers who want a nuanced account of survival rather than a simplified recovery story. In conclusion, this memoir should be read by people navigating miscarriage, IVF disappointment, fertility uncertainty, or any form of reproductive grief. But its reach is wider than that audience alone. Readers interested in memoir, women's health, marriage under stress, or the emotional costs of achievement culture will find it especially substantial. Its practical value lies in recognition it gives articulate form to experiences that are often minimized, misread, or spoken about only in fragments. That recognition can matter as much as advice, because it reduces isolation and offers a more realistic emotional vocabulary. Intellectually, the book stands out for connecting bodily loss to broader questions of identity, control, and cultural expectations rather than treating miscarriage as a purely private tragedy. Compared with many books in the same category, it is distinctive for its tonal balance. It is honest without being self-pitying, reflective without being clinical, and tender without losing analytical sharpness. It also resists the usual narrative pressure to convert suffering into neat inspiration. Instead, it presents grief as something that changes a person while still leaving room for humor, attachment, and wonder. That combination makes it memorable within contemporary memoir. If you would like to support Mary Adkins, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.